We're talking today with the chief of the Natural Resource Conservation Service, Terry Cosby. Terry, thank you for your time today. And let's talk a little bit about this conservation innovative grants that have been released, the details on them, several of them all across the country, including the three that are directly involved some folks in Oklahoma. Tell me a little bit more about the concept of this of these grants.
Hey, Ron, thank you for having me and just happy to be here with you. And Conservation Innovation Grants is, you know, one of the things in our toolbox that we're using for new technology and innovation. We have two parts of this program, one we call Classic and then On-Farm Trials. Today, we're talking about the Classic program, where on Friday, Secretary Vilsack was in Ohio and was able to announce that these grants have been awarded. It's a $15 million for 19 projects across the country, and it's for new and emerging technologies and methods. And I tell you what, we couldn't be happier.
Seems like that as we take a look at some of the projects that were announced Friday by the secretary, kind of combination of some fairly cutting edge type technology, some innovative type ideas, as well as just some great things that have been a classic, as you mentioned, when it comes to conservation practices in the U.S.
You know, one of the things is I know there is some Rich Cedar initiative going on here. I know that, you know, in a lot of the areas out in that part of the country, we're having encroachment. And so one of the things is using satellite technology to detect where these cedars are so we can get them, get it treated and get them, get these invasives out. You know, all of these things, all of these projects, the information that we gain from them, we can apply across the country everywhere, not only the area that our plan applied for, but we use this information to help build our conservation practice standards and understand what this new and emerging technology is. And who else better to help us with this than the folks that's actually on the land?
I know one of the projects that is pointed to folks in the states of Kansas and Nebraska, but it's an interesting concept to me. This idea of basically using fairly low tech type ideas concepts in trying to improve climate resiliency. Why the need to address climate resiliency in your mind?
Well, you know, one of the things that that's happening, especially when you get in the West, we're talking about wildfires, we're talking about drought, and every drop of water is important. And so when you start talking about this low-tech process and that's based in stream structures to increase climate resiliency, you know, how do we save this precious water and only use it in the areas that we need to? You know, we having these extreme weather shifts in the Great Plains, and it's led to a lot of stream and stream bank erosion and aquifer depletion. And so it also has decreased the pasture quality and reduction of wildlife habitat. And so we need to study these effects. And as we implement this low-tech process-based structures, you know, I think it's going to help us. It's going to help us look at some of these new technologies. It's going to help my staff when we're out making these recommendations on these farms. And so we learned a lot of information from this.
One of the things that is in several of the grants, the reference to trying to improve soil health, that continues to be a priority for NRCS, doesn't it?
Right, yes. Soil health is so important. When you talk about resiliency, soil health is so important. You know, we talk about cover crops and all of the different systems that go along to make sure we build a healthy and productive soil. You know, the soils is the backbone for everything that we do. And without that, you know, we couldn't, you know, as a society, we wouldn't be here without a healthy soil. And so we got to figure out how to keep building these soils, how to make sure they're healthy, and that it's going to continue to produce the food, feed, and fiber that we need to feed a growing rural population.
One of the actually a couple of the grants that were made include Oklahoma, also Colorado, has to do with managing rangelands using virtual fencing. Interesting concept. I know this has been talked about by some producers. We're still still trying to figure out how the best way to accomplish that. Right.
Right. We, you know, we, and that's how come these these projects are so important because it gives us an opportunity to test some of this, to look at it, to see how it's going to work. And, I'm one of the, this is one of them that I'm really going to be paying attention to, not only all of them, but this one, because when you talk about a virtual fence, I'm a farm boy and we always had, some horses and some different cattle, and they didn't pay attention to a fence that was actually there. Then when you start talking about a virtual fence. So this is something that is exciting. We're going to be paying close attention to this because I'm just interested in what this technology is going to bring.
I guess what this is maybe that next step past. We've had electric fences for a lot of years. They're fairly portable, fairly easy to take down and move around and everything. But virtual fencing would be another step further down the road. Isn't that right?
It's going to be one of those things that's going to be further down the road, but like I say, it's really exciting, and I'm just looking for what's going to come from this project, just the innovation that's going to come from this, and learn more about it. And if this is successful, just think about what it can do for farmers across this country.
One of the area that really caught my eye as we looked at some of the grants that were announced, the continued work trying to be innovative in how you handle animal waste and how you manage that successfully. What are your hopes there?
Well, we sometimes in some of these watersheds we have an issue with nutrients, and whether it's is produced on the farm or whether it's synthetic fertilizer or some of those type things. So we're looking at how do we best apply these nutrients. And one of the things is, a lot of times when you're out in the field, every acre get the same application. What we've learned is that sometimes it doesn't need every acre doesn't need the same application. So we're trying to figure out and learn how do you apply it where you need it and where you don't need it, don't apply it. And then how does, manure or animal fertilizer fit into all of this? And so we're going to be looking at all of this, these new technologies, and we're going to learn from this. And as we learn from this, we'll start incorporating that into the way we do business at NRCS.
Finally, Terry, I know that you'd alluded to the fact that these are kind of the classic grants that have been announced by the Secretary. What's next? What's out there ahead? And continue to try to figure out ways to utilize conservation, embrace conservation, and at the same time embrace improvements in the climate.
Well, one of the things that's, well, several things are happening right now. We've announced our lineup of conservation programs for the year, and they're all out there. We're hoping producers know where to find us at the NRCS office or the Farm Service Agency office out in the county. We have 2,300 field offices across the country, almost one in every county. Stop in to see us and talk to us. We still on some COVID protocols, so sometimes we do a lot of business across the phone, but we do have folks that are actually in the field working with producers right now. One of the things that I'm so excited about is the bipartisan infrastructure bill that just passed. It's going to give us an opportunity to go out and work in a lot of our watershed areas for infrastructure. We need to rehab a lot of these dams that we have out there. We're going to be looking at new projects. And then we're really excited about Build Back Better. And I know it's going on to the Senate right now, and they're considering it. It gives us a huge investment in conservation. Right now, our conservation programs are oversubscribed. We're only able to do maybe 25% in each state of the applications that we see. With Build Back Better, it's going to give us an opportunity to service a lot more producers. And the thing I want people to know is that a lot of times producers want conservation technical assistance. And when we're there, we are able to say, hey, let us help you fund some of these critical things that you're trying to do in your farm. And most producers go ahead and do it if we don't have the financial assistance. They just want the technical assistance. So we're so happy to be out there across this country working with these innovative farmers and producers. And we really just love the work that we do.
Terry Cosby joining us today. He's the Chief of the Natural Resource Conservation Service for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.